Blog Talk Radio.
Well, that's the theme song, the Beast Wars Transformers, opening up the Talk Geek with Tyler Brook podcast, hosted by Tyler Brook out there in Pearl River, New York. Yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles, producing it with a sore throat. But I will tell you, this show goes by quick, 347-205-9631. If you miss it, catch the archive version on blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, produced now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, as I lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, and hand off the mic, first of all, Tyler, how are you? How can people get a hold of you? And we'll let you know when your great guest comes through here.
Thanks, Mark. I'm doing okay. Just going through a lot of personal stuff. The holidays are blessed. Can't wait for it all to be over. But with that said, before we go any further, I'd like to thank my sponsors, both Exaspace as well as Star Candles for sponsoring this episode. Today, this episode will be Geeking Then and Now. And basically, this idea was presented to me by George P. Brooks, but for reasons beyond my comprehension, he's not here right now. Hopefully he'll call him later. If not, well, I guess that's the last I'm going to hear of him. So in a nutshell, this episode is going to be basically discussing the many ways in which geekdom has changed from then to now. One such way is definitely thanks you to the internet access that's been more available. Back when I was a kid, which I was like in my, like say, 90s, early 2000s, the internet was a thing, but it wasn't as readily available as it used to be. So it's just, honestly, in some ways, kind of a grace thing that we have internet access. Now, I remember when I was a kid, Lion King was a big deal at the time, and to some degree it is. That said, do not watch the live-action Lion King remake. It does not deserve to see the light of day. And for the life of me, I honestly don't know why they call it live-action. It's pretty much just glorified CGI. With that said, yes, this does remind me of Lion King when I was a kid, because when I was younger, I needed to go to my family's computer to find out who played Scar. Nowadays, I can just whip out my phone when it's not charging, Google who was Scar in The Lion King, and boom, Jeremy Irons. Which, funny enough, it's amazing the amount of Disney fans that for Disney actors that we've had that eventually worked their way to Marvel. We've had Awkwafina, who you may recognize as Sisu from Ryan the Last Dragon, who also makes an appearance in Shang-Chi. Oh, we actually got our first guest, first comment. Darren from Vail, Colorado. Great song, Tyler. I've heard that before. Who wrote it? That was actually the Beast Wars theme song. So for those of you that don't know, the 90s for the Transformers era was a big, essentially the Beast era. For those of you that are familiar with Transformers, they're robots that transform into vehicles as well as other handheld, as well as other devices, whether they be guns or boomboxes or even microscopes. But in the 90s Beast era, they all transformed into different types of animals. the only animals we really had are these transforming animals we had in the original Gen 1 continuity were the Insecticons, a group of Decepticons that transform into insects, the Dinobots, a bunch of Autobots that turned into various dinosaurs, and the Predacons, who transform into different animals, as well as the Terracons and Skylinks, as well as some of the Cassette Warriors, but that one's debatable because their main form, whereas the usual robotic form, is more humanoid. Characters like Ravage and Steeljaw and Laserbeak and all these other Cassette animals, their base mode is more animalistic, but they do have an alternate mode, which is the Cassette, which nowadays is different due to the fact that boomboxes are no longer a thing. Which nowadays, whenever Soundwave gets a new introduction, he's no longer a boombox. He is either a car of some kind or a jet, but still manages to deploy characters like Laserbeak and Ravage, which is all funny, all things considered. I mean, I personally think it is. If you don't, well, that's okay. But it's definitely a lot easier as time goes on. It's a lot easier to look things up, whether it's voice acting or who wrote what or what else have these people been in. It's definitely a game changer, unless you want a quick shout out to my friend C.R. Rice, calls a deep Googler. People just see something, they Google the shit in advance, and nowadays they'll just tell you, did you know that X, Y, and Z, X, Y, and Z, X, Y, and Z? Which, speaking of random facts, here's an interesting one I hope you all can enjoy as much as I can. Tim Curry was the original choice for the Joker in the DCAU continuity. That, of course, being Batman, Batman Beyond, Static Shock, Justice League, Justice League Unlimited, and all those other myriads of shows. He was supposed to be Joker, but eventually it went to Mark Hamill. And I'm glad it did, because at this point, when you say Joker, I picture Mark Hamill. Though if I could picture two more people, I picture Don DiMaggio, who you can hear his wonderful voice in Under the Red Hood film, and Brent Spiner, who you can see, well, I guess here technically, in Young Justice, another great, wonderful Greg Wiseman production, which incidentally, hashtag keep ending gargoyles. And it's funny, the 90s, and I feel like many shows are products of their time. Many shows were racist, but at the time they weren't, because it's just one of those situational things. 80s, they're a little more goofier. You got your Turtles, you got your He-Man, your Transformers. They're goofier, and then, we have the 90s. The 90s were definitely the edgier stuff. Whether it's your DC animation, whether it's Gargoyles, or even Beast Wars, everything, to quote Greg Wiseman, it was the 90s, everything had to be edgy. He's not wrong. Robin from Ohio says, hey Tyler, love your show each week. Your guest might be caught sleeping on a couch somewhere in New York. No, maybe, but if he doesn't show up, well, that's his loss. Sure, he's a nice guy, but to quote Homie the Clown from In Living Color, homie, don't play that. Which is definitely another product of its time show, as we've been discussing. I believe when you're watching anything, it could be the Aristocats, it could be those old Three Stooges cartoons, Woody Woodpecker, whatever it is you're watching, you got to realize that it's definitely a product of its time. I'm not saying a lot of what they do is acceptable now. You got to take it with a grain of salt, realize, oh, okay, it was made in a different time. We're learning from this, we're moving forward, and we're trying to become better people, which is the one thing I really love that Disney Plus is doing now. They acknowledge this wasn't right, but we're not going to change it, because if we change it, we're not really learning anything. So again, take that with as much grain of salt as you possibly can. But if you are looking for But since Christmas is about 5 days away, if you guys are looking for some interesting holiday picks, I got a few for you. For starters, if anybody has Paramount Plus, watch the Angry Beavers Christmas special because, and I say this one because it's funny, it is and is not the Christmas special. It is the Arbor Day special, which Christmas for beavers. I personally think that is an interesting take on the situation, but still counts as a Christmas special, which in many ways, Die Hard counts as a Christmas movie. I personally think it is. If you don't, let me know now, and I'll let you know if I agree with you. If you're looking for another Christmas special, I also recommend Dan vs. Mall Santa. Curtis Armstrong voices the titular Dan. This series is available on YouTube. Was on, I want to say, Star for a while, off the top of my head. Dan is this short, angry little man. He has this uncontrollable anger, and a lot of the times it's rightfully so, a lot of times just makes you wonder why he gets angry at the most minute things. If you ever want to know what Mark Hamill sounds like as a mall Santa, then this is definitely the episode for you. Basically, the whole concept of each episode is somebody does something to him wrong, and he spends the whole episode trying to get revenge. Granted, a lot of the times it happens against his car, but there you go. If you're looking for another one, for those of you that remember Jackie Chan Adventures, again, another product of its time, Throwback Toons just recently released the Christmas special. Basically, the evil wizard, Dao Long Long, who's voiced by James Hong, who you may recognize in a myriad of films, but for you DreamWorks fans out there, he was the goose in Kung Fu Panda films. Excuse me, a little bit of a dry throat. Basically, he was trying to steal the Santa's chi, which is, for those of you that don't know what chi is, it is the life energy that we all have. Because apparently he needed to do that. But it was a cute little wholesome family thing. It was a season 3 episode. So take that with ever what grain of salt you need to. And we can absolutely do so. So if anybody wants to nominate another Christmas special on the comments for everybody to recommend, please do so. And as long as we speak about Christmas specials, if you guys haven't had the opportunity to do so, make sure you definitely catch the A Christmas Story Christmas. First off, a lot of the times comedy sequels don't work because they're almost never as funny as the original. But this one did justice for several reasons. It felt like it was made by the same creator, I believe it was. I'm not entirely sure. Another reason is that they kept the cast, in which many cases sequels do not do that. It's rare for them to do so. But it does happen. And when it happens, you just got to be grateful that it does happen. Whether it's a comedy, whether it's a live-action film series, whether it's a trilogy, you just got to appreciate the fact that these people are returning to continue the movie. Sorry, I'm not used to talking so long by myself for these live shows that my throat's a little dry. But with all that said and done, we are about the halfway mark. Again, English day. We are at the halfway point in this episode. So here is a little fun trivia question. The trivia question today being, The trivia question that I'm going to ask you all is this. In the original Beast Wars cartoon, the Predacon Inferno transforms into a red fire ant. However, when reprogramming his protoform, Tarantulas had intended Inferno's beast mode to be what kind of animal? Once again, in the original Beast Wars cartoon, the Predacon Inferno transforms into a red fire ant. However, when recording his reprogramming, his protoform, Tarantulas had intended Inferno's beast mode to be what kind of animal? Answer this question now. And since this is more of the holiday geek special, I'm going to give you all a little treat. If you send me an email at tylerbrook111@gmail.com, that's spelled TYLERBROOKE 111@gmail.com, and you submit your ideas of what you would like me to talk about, or any suggestions or even guests that you'd like me to have, I will answer your emails and I will make sure to respond to you. And if I like them, I will definitely give them a nod in the episode. If not, I can still always shout you an email. But that said, done, and this is just my opinion, feels like when a lot of these shows are made nowadays, it's just there for just to make a quick buck. Like, from what I'm noticing, whether it's the constancy of reboots or making shows dumbed down for the, oh, this is just background noise kind of a show, a lot of the shows that do exist, in my opinion, does not seem to have the same dedication to it. Whether it's you're trying to get as much stuff out as possible, whether it's you're on a tighter budget, or whether it's just you're running out of ideas, I believe that many stories, whether they be animated works, whether they be spin-off, or even live action, they don't seem to grab you as much as they used to. There are a couple of standouts, though. If any of you are looking for a more riskier show, and I say risky because it does have some less than polite language, I strongly recommend for you Hell of a Boss on YouTube. The YouTube series about these three imps plus a hellhound who are basically hired mercenaries, in which they go to Earth via a grimoire, which is basically a magic spell book, to kill various humans that demons have offered to pay them money for in exchange for their death. And it does tackle a lot of serious issues. But with this then done, it also does have a lot of interesting guests. James Monroe Englehart, who you may remember from the Aladdin Broadway, from the Genie on the Aladdin on Broadway, Alex Brighton, who you may remember as Beetlejuice from the Broadway, and the Jafar's voice actor as of season 2, whose name is escaping me, but that's just another big name for you as well. Which, funny enough, I gotta say, it's for a YouTube series, it's very surprising to see who they were able to get. Hell, for one of the main casts, they even got Richard Horvitz, who you may recognize as either Daggett, if you're an Angry Beavers fan, Invader Zim, if you're an Invader Zim fan, or Billy from the Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy. All various titles. So yes, that it definitely shows you the range people can definitely have, but a lot of times when Richard Horvitz does a voice, he does sound like the same character. But it feels like many of the voice actors that do that well. On the other hand, you get characters like, or voice actors, I should say, like Stephen Bloom, who can go either very creepy with his voices, like, say, Orochimaru from the Naruto franchise, to more of a smooth talker, as in the case of Spike Spiegel from Cowboy Bebop. I know that Cowboy Bebop is still definitely on Netflix. I have not given the live-action series a chance, but on the other hand, John Cho did do really well in Harold and Kumar. But here's another interesting fact for all of you. The very first time that White Castle has ever served veggie burgers was in Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. The very first time. Until then, it was all meat-based burgers. So feel free to share that fact with anyone who is a donor comedy fan. And give me the credit where credit's due. But if you're looking for a raunchy Christmas movie, I definitely recommend the Harold and Kumar Christmas movie. In a nutshell, Harold gets married to Maria. Oh, sorry. Yeah, Harold gets married to Maria. Kumar still lives in the apartment, only this time all by himself. Hasn't spoken to Harold in years, or seen him for that matter. He gets Vanessa pregnant, but they broke up a while ago, so. So basically the whole thing is not only a Christmas movie, it is a reuniting sort of a thing. So if you're looking for a buddy film, which is also a Christmas film, and a stoner comedy, that just hits the trifecta. And funny enough, it also references the original film because they do go to White Castle with their two Jewish friends, whose name are escaping me right now. But, and I say they're Jewish friends because for the first part of for the original movie, they're always highlighting the fact that they were Jewish, as if their names weren't, you know, kind of a giveaway enough. But it's definitely kind of funny, which, gotta say, that's another way you can tell a product of its time. You highlight what someone is. Like, there's a commercial recently that shows all these women being female bosses, and you just cross out the female, just boss. And I gotta say, I really do appreciate that, because it focuses on what they are, as in the boss, not what, as in the female. Being said, I'm really glad some diversity is being applied in this day and age, because I gotta say, a lot of the roles, whether they be superhero roles or protagonist roles, has definitely been a white male thing, and I'm really glad they're getting diversified out there between the various of genders, ethnicities, and religion. So it's always nice to see a change of pace, where a change of pace is absolutely welcome. But hell, and it does feel like, this is just my opinion, a lot of stuff that shows on, that's being shown on Adult Swim is a stoner thing. And I say a stoner thing because when you're watching this stuff sober, it's like, what am I watching? On the other hand, but a lot of the stuff they do have on Adult Swim is actually pretty good. Whether it's any of the anime you get from Toonami, any of the Seth MacFarlane shows like Family Guy or American Dad, or, this is my highly recommended series, Primal. If you're a fan of Dexter's Laboratory or Samurai Jack, check out Primal. If you're expecting a show with a lot of great dialogue, this is not the show for you. However, it's amazing how much emotion can be portrayed by just the score alone. Granted, there are a few grunts and roars along the way because it does involve a caveman and a dinosaur, but it's still powerful. The ending, I don't want to give too much away, but let's just say I was not a fan of the way the series ended, but you got to go off with a bang. And it's only 2 seasons long. Each episode is half an hour. It's definitely on one of those background shows you put on. It's definitely one of those you need to sit and see what's going on. My personal favorite episode is season 1, episode 3, where they deal with the mammoths. Very good episode. And I know what you're thinking. Mammoths and dinosaurs don't live together. They never did. And it feels like whether it's Khazar and the Savage Lands or any of those 1 million-year BC movies, a lot of the times they have dinosaurs, mammoths, saber-toothed cats, and yes, that is the correct term, because there's no such thing as a saber-toothed tiger. The correct term is saber-toothed cat. Anywho, they're always in this huge mix. But they are millions of years apart. So having a mammoth and a T-Rex in the same era would probably be the equivalent of us interacting with a person millions of years in the future. It's not going to happen. But if it does happen, let me borrow your time machine. Which, speaking of, never really understood time travel. It just feels like a cop-out, just feels like lazy writing. And there's so much time loops and whatnot, sorry, I'm losing space on the words, I'm not English today, that's really hard to keep track of. We're winding down with 5 minutes left, so if anybody would like to recommend a Christmas special for everybody, 5 minutes left to do so, and only 3 minutes to send in that trivia question answer. For those of you that would like me to repeat it, I absolutely will. The trivia question today is, in the original Beast Wars cartoon, the Predacon Inferno transforms into a red fire ant. However, when reprogramming his proto form, Tarantulus had intended Inferno's beast mode to be what kind of animal? We got 5 minutes left, so do not hesitate if you know the answer. Just give a quick shout-out to Mark Mancini of the number you've used to dial into this station to listen to the lovely, delicious sound of my voice to tune in. But speaking of Beast Wars, check out the trailer for the new Rise of Beasts movies. Essentially, the much like the Netflix series, the Maximals and the Autobots team up against the Terracons, and of course the aforementioned Decepticons. Here's a little quick rundown for the Beast Wars series. Basically, this is a sequel prequel. By that, I mean the descendants of the Autobots and Decepticons, the Maximals and Predacons respectively, are fighting it out, much like their ancestors did, but a wormhole takes them back to a prehistoric Earth. Being as how there are no vehicles for them to scan, they scan the local life forms. And many of the Predacons transformed into dinosaurs and arthropods, whereas the heroic Maximals turned into various mammals. So while that was the common theme, that wasn't always the case. As proven when the Predacon turned Maximal Dinobot joins the Maximals, as well as the Predacon Black Arachnia becomes one of the Maximals come the third season. So in her defense, she was originally a Maximal protoform, much like many of the other protoforms that we've seen within the Beast Wars cartoon. But if you definitely want to see a good movie next year, I do recommend Rise of Beasts, because Michael Bay's not directing this. And it's great that he brought the movies back to the fandom, but he does not know how to direct. It's like his only capital gains are fan service, whether they be explosions or fan service and the physical gratuity. It feels like that was his biggest tax write-offs. Tax write-off, one stick of dynamite, Megan Fox's cleavage, which it sucks that we don't see her anymore because the guy me likes seeing her, but she's not as talented as she used to be. So that's another thing you can take with a grain of salt. And after winding down, I will give you the answer to the trivia question. In the original Beast Wars cartoon, the Predacon Inferno transforms into a red fire ant. However, when reprogramming his protoform, Tarantulus had intended Inferno's beast mode to be what kind of animal? A black widow spider, much like Black Arachnia. In case you didn't tell, Tarantulus does have a arachnid fetish, which, hey, everyone's got an animal that they really enjoy. I personally like tigers and other big cats. He prefers spiders. So take that as you will. So we're winding down, and this is, unfortunately, the last episode of the year. But don't forget, we will be here January 2nd, same time. So make sure to call in at 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, as I will be joined by my lovely guest, Marlene Sharp, who has introduced me to such people like Warren Davis, Ken Weisselman, and Greg Wiseman to be guests on my show. Tune in as we discuss about video game movies. Do they work? But in the meantime, stay geeky.